We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
No, had a bit of a regular season vibe to it. Now, granted, it's an early start. There's Bay Area traffic. There's an accident. But you had a tired Portland team coming in. And all the way around, the way it played out, you saw a lot of bench players last night. It didn't necessarily have the feel of game one of the Western Conference Finals. People may look at that as a negative, but that's the feeling you get when you're in this round every single year.
Right, and when you're against Portland, too, because you feel like matchup-wise, you have the ability to play more guys. And Steve Kerr even alluded to that in the post game, and John Dickinson, who joined us earlier today, said as much. When you play Houston, it feels like every possession is so much more important that you don't necessarily, quote, trust minutes to Jordan Bell and Jerebko and Quinn Cook. But against Portland, they're playing a little bit more depth. You can play a little bit more depth. And as a result, you end up playing 13 guys. Damian Jones got minutes. So you couldn't help but make it feel like it was a game in like late November, early December. About a minute and a half to go, I was watching it with my son, with Keon, and we kind of changed the channel. Like it was a regular season game. They were up 18 or whatever, and you kind of looked at it, and it's like, this game's over. It kind of felt like a game against Memphis or a game against Orlando, one of those relatively meaningless regular season games.
22-point win. Draymond plays 34 minutes. Steph plays 35. Klay 37. Andre 31. Nice to see those numbers not starting with a four as you start to look ahead to the finals. You don't want to completely overlook Portland, obviously, but you do have to think about minutes and wear and tear come a series that could be against Milwaukee or Toronto, depending on how the East plays itself out. Your boy Tamir is on the line. Tamir in Oakland. Tamir, thank you for the phone call. Should Low bend the knee?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First, I got to give a shout-out to Low. I owe him lunch. He won the Bucks series, but now I'm going to go in on him. Dibs is right. This is a five-game series. Like, if the Blazers play defense the way they did to Curry, I don't care how many points Dame scores or CJ. If they go on a pick-and-roll and they got cancer in the back, and then another, whoever the other center, Collins, whoever, stepping up in the back, and Curry has a wide open three, he's going to hit those, even with numbers, if you want to go with that, Joe, because you got to look at the first two series. He was getting grabbed. They were physical with him and all that. Yesterday was like practice for him. He come off a screen, there's no one there, he's going to shoot it. So I just think if they play this way, it might even go less than five. So, but I'm going to stay with Dibs and say five.
It's a smart call.
Thank you for the phone call there.
Good smart call right there from Tamir. And he admits that he does owe you lunch. That's a big step for the two of you. Admitting is always the hardest part.
No, it's not. It's actually the paying off of the bet. The admission is one thing. It takes them years until they pay off.
You taught me earlier today, Joe, acknowledge, accept, and advance. He's already, was that acknowledge? That's the acknowledge.
That is acknowledge. And it sounds like acceptance, but you can't advance until the debt is paid off.
That's true.
Until they both actually show up at the same time for the same meal, then we can advance.
Lots of miscommunication.
And I'm just going to tell you, Texans out there, all the billions of listeners out there, you guys are crazy if you think Portland's going to lay down, and you're crazy if you think they're going to get motorboated this next game. You're absolutely out of your mind. And listen, text me, blow me up, and I will bend the knee. If they get motorboated next game, I will bend the knee as you guys want me to.
I will bend. That's not going to be on the table.
No, you get one chance. You only get one shot.
No. Come on. You got to turn the mic back on, please. He'll stop. You got a couple minutes here. He'll stop. Floor is yours.
Sorry.
As mad as you get.
Thank you, Joe.
You got your jokes in.
That's on me. That's 10.
I just want everyone out there to just pump the brakes and listen to me. Tomorrow, you'll see a different Portland team. They got humiliated. If you're watching First Take, do you know what they're saying? The series is over. These guys went home and watched SportsCenter. They laid in their bed, got the aches, and got something to eat, and looked their aches and pains. And you think they cried a river? These guys got humiliated last night. They got embarrassed. So if you guys shut up, Low, you're stupid, you're crazy. Listen, it doesn't work that way in sports. It's not like you're out there driving to work. Oh, I'm going to have a better day. When you have a bad day, you bounce back. That's why you got to have thick skin if you're going to play sports, okay? Got it? Good.
Nicely done. just immediately looks over expecting a round of applause.
Something.
And like a parade down Market Street.
Not down Market.
I gave you the appropriate amount. Seven people oddly clapping.
Down Park Street in the Mita, and I'd be happy.
Oh, you in the Mita. So yesterday,
it's not just him. Steinmetz, when he was taking calls yesterday, he was like, let's go out to Fred in the Mita.
Yeah, really?
He did it a couple times. Yeah, I was listening outside.
Steiny.
So yesterday,
Steiny's pushing it forward.
I'm playing golf at Carica Park, which happens to be in Alameda.
The
nice
Mita.
Round.
Yeah.
Up and down round, as always. I'm sitting down, getting ready for the Warrior game after, about to head home. This guy walks up to me and goes, how come you're not on board with the Mita?
Really?
Yeah, oh, the Mita, it's become a thing. It's become like a bee sting, like a burr in my saddle. I can't get away from it. The more I fight it, the more I get hit with the Mita left and the Mita right.
Should ask if you want to bend the knee on that take.
Mm-hmm. Bend
wow, man.
The
just
knee.
Come all the way around. Yeah.
Oh, that's a
bend
chop.
The yeah. knee.
It's all right. It makes a lot of people happy. It makes a lot of people happy. People like the name. I don't know if you were the original, but you are certainly the one who is pushing this to the forefront.
Yeah.
Calling
yeah,
it the Mita.
The
and
Mita.
Steinmetz helping you out 10 to noon. They've got,
Steiny,
I don't know
I
about
you.
Billions, but they've got hundreds of millions of listeners.
I tell you what,
it's driving a wedge between our once strong friendship. His use of the Mita.
Steiny?
He's
with the
10
Mita?
To nooning me into submission with the Mita, because now I got people coming at me with the Mita, but I'm not quite ready to bend the knee on the
Mita. Think it over. Think it over. We might give you an opportunity.
Thank you.
Quickly.
Isn't it interesting, though, when a brother, a man of color, say the Mita, but then Steinman, oh, he's winning me over. All I said is the Mita, but it's interesting. That's all.
It's interesting that you say that he's winning me over.
I'm sorry. We're
if you would listen.
Go ahead, Joe.
It's the countless people who are using the Mita.
Go ahead, Joe.
We have 60 seconds.
No, it's 8:11.
Thanks. Go ahead, Joe.
The out's 12, Joe.
I know, but I like to take a minute to stand on ceremony as I send us out with teases. And promotions and everything else. Speaking of which, it is a Warrior Wednesday brought to you by our friends at Freedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Bending the Knee, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Fremont Bank's never going to ask you to bend the knee. They're going to work with you, not against you. And that's what's beautiful about Fremont Bank. No bending the knee at Fremont Bank. All right. We got to get into the seriousness that is the Kevin Durant situation. New reports surfacing. We'll get to that. We'll talk to Rick Barry. We'll take more phone calls. Will Lowe bend the knee by the end of the show? Stay tuned. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. Warriors lock in and take game one of the Western Conference Finals after a dominant victory over Portland. Steph Curry was cooking 36 points and matched his playoff career high of 9 trays. And talk about strength in numbers. The bench showed up 36 points from 8 players. Joe Lowe and Dibs will talk about the win with Hall of Famer Rick Barry. That's coming up at 8:30. Now, Steve Kerr is now 18-1 in game one. The head coach will join the Dame Bruce Show today at 5. He'll also talk about the return of Damian Jones and how he expects Portland will adjust. Game two is tomorrow. Listen to all the action here on 95.7 The Game. And we have your chance to win tickets to game two. You heard the keyword. Go to realtor.com/warriors and enter the word dubs for your chance to win tickets. We'll have another keyword tomorrow at 8 a.m. as well. And at the NBA draft lottery last night, the Pelicans were awarded the number one pick, followed by the Grizzlies, Knicks, and Lakers. How will this affect the NBA and also KD's future? The guys will discuss next. But still to come, should Lowe bend the knee or will he be put to shame? Shame. Shame. Well, stay tuned to find out. I'm Anna Kugadaike on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Stay with it. I'm not bending a knee. It's going 7, folks.
Oh, come on, Lowe.
Bend the knee.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
This segment of whether or not Lowe Neal will bend the knee is brought to you by Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Visit Freedman's Appliance, magnificent 25,000 square foot showroom, and find more at freedmansappliance.com. For those of you just joining, the Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795, and it's on one today. We were giving Lowe the opportunity in the last segment to back off of his Warriors in 7 prediction, something we tend to do from time to time around here, the opportunity to surrender, although in the spirit of what's taking place on TV these days, it will not be known as surrender. It's known as bend the knee. Bend the knee. And he's being defiant. So it's going to lead to quite a funeral if the Warriors do not win this thing in 7. I would let Lowe speak for himself. He is not here at the moment.
Oh, come on, Lowe.
Here we go.
Maybe he's out there stretching so that when he bends the knee, he doesn't hurt a hammy or maybe strain a calf. Because as we know, a strained calf can cost you a couple of weeks, potentially, if you don't stretch properly before you do bend the knee.
Had a long bathroom break. No.
What do you mean, no, no, no?
Yeah, there's no such thing as no. You're late, you get penalized. That's it. It's a rule.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is the anger's coming out of you, too, because I won't bend the knee. I refuse to. And
I'm not angry.
I think you guys are putting me in a spot where you're just constantly trying to get me to bend the knee and have the listeners out there try to, you know, jump on you guys' side. Allow me to stay where I'm at. I'm not trying to take any way out. I'm going to stick with my. I'm going to stick with my take. I'm not. My name's not Anna. I'm not going to flop. So
it's a nice indirect shot. A nice indirect shot.
That's pretty direct, actually.
I like it.
Yeah, exactly. That is way too direct here. And I have not been flip-flopping. Come on.
Not the truth?
You got to come harder than that. He just accused you of something. If you're just going to say no, I don't know if that's going to fly. I'm going to have to side with him for lack of evidence.
Where have I flip-flopped lately?
And it takes no time to bend the knee.
And it was very interesting. Yesterday, Dibs goes, I'm going to go 5. Lowe says, oh, we're going to do 7. And you were like, oh. And all of a sudden, someone just writes down and you're like, I'm going to be safe. You got right in the middle. It's not about flip. It's just, let me take the safest. So right there. No 4, no 5, no 7. This right there.
That was just my first initial thought.
It's okay, though.
Just because you happen to go first and say 7 because you think it's going to go 7. I said 6. Just I thought 6. That was my first initial thought.
We actually have a drop of him saying it's going 7. Is that what that was?
It's going 7.
I'm trying to think all the ways we can apply that to things that don't involve sports series.
You think the Giants will win tonight in 9 innings? No, guys.
It's going 7.
It's only going 7.
Nice effort last night. I like the opener. Of course, the opener needs to get through the first inning in order for it to be effective. But hey, you win some, you lose some.
He did open the game.
Yeah, technically he did open the game. Gave up a home run to a guy no one's ever heard of. Oh, wait, no, everyone knows who Guerrero is now. He hit 2 last night. By the way, once again, an opposing team not having problems hitting home runs at that park. I feel like such an idiot. I'll bend the knee on the take if it's out there from back in the day of, move the fences in. Bend the knee, funeral, whatever needs to be done for that. I completely move off that position. I'm siding with what Dib said a few weeks ago. I said it then. I'm going to reiterate it now. I agree with you. Get players who can hit a home run.
Right. It's not the ballpark.
The park is not the problem. Just like with society now, it's society should change, and we should adjust everything for the children. No, adjust the children for the world. Don't adjust the world for the children.
Amen.
That's not going to work. Go in there and hit some home runs. Other teams are coming in having no problem hitting home runs. Hit some home runs. Hunter Pence is hitting home runs all over the place.
Can't stop him right now. He's having a monster year.
He's Babe Ruth.
Oh, babe. Turn back the clock.
Big time.
Yeah.
It's not the ballpark. It's your lineup. And you look at all the moves that Farhan's making. He's back filling the roster. But at the top of it, you got 3 guys. Your guy and my guy, by the way, tied with the league lead or the team lead. 6 home runs apiece.
Yeah, the world's watching. The Belt Longoria thing is just riveting.
It is.
It's like Michael Johnson, Donovan Bailey. It's like Dave versus Dan, except Dan ended up not qualifying for the Olympics. You remember that?
I do.
Shout out Reebok. That's a big miss. It's a big miss right there.
Although we still remember the campaign 30 years later.
Oh, so it's a big hit.
Yeah.
Where can I get some Reeboks?
Right. I got the pump if you need to pump it up a little bit here.
The pump is the number one of all Reebok shoes. If you're a power ranking, is there any Reebok shoe that has any more gravitas than the pump?
Can't even think of one.
I don't even know if it worked. Mm-hmm. Just bending down doing it made you feel better about yourself. It's like the placebo effect.
Jump higher.
The audio. All right. So we got to get to Kevin Durant.
Yes.
Whether or not we think Kevin Durant is going to play in this series is one thing. Right now, Warriors in pretty good shape. 2-0 straight up. 2-0 against the spread. Without Durant, team's looking good. Who knows if it's going to maintain? Who knows if you can win in the finals, should you be lucky enough to get there, if Durant is unable to go? Colin Cowherd, however, yesterday, with some troubling news for Warrior fans. Take a listen.
Now, I want to throw this out to you. This happened 10 minutes ago. An NBA veteran, you know how they call it, Joy, sliding into your DMs? You know when people do that? An NBA veteran player. I follow all sorts of people. An NBA player, very, very connected. Been around this league for a long time. Told me 15 minutes ago. KD to the Knicks is 100% done, and he has made calls to other players.
Ooh.
I do not have it double-sourced. I don't. I'll just tell you, I don't. But he's somebody I respect, he's smart, and I'm going to put it out there.
What do you make of that?
It's reckless, now that I've heard it again.
Reckless, wow.
And he even says it. 2 things. One, He says 10 minutes ago, then he says 15 minutes ago. So I smell a little bit of a fish when in that, because why did he change?
The changing from, of the times really, yes. really mattered to you.
Just
okay.
like I've told you many times before, we had an old coworker who used to say, I got two calls on this, and that always sets off my radar like somebody's maybe not telling the whole truth.
You're convinced, to bring the listeners in, that if someone uses the number two,
right.
two people told me, or I heard it from two, or I saw it at two places, that two is the lie.
Yes.
I've always thought it was three. If someone tells you three, I think they're lying on three. You think two. Chill and Autobody, text line 95795, but anyway.
Yes, if somebody says, oh, you know, we had two people call and complain about such and such bit, it's like, oh, you had two people call? I don't buy that. So okay. when he goes from 10 minutes to 15 minutes, I smell a rat. And secondarily, he even says in there, I don't have a second source on it. And you know, Joe, from your great journalistic background,
yeah.
you always have to have two sources, but he goes with it anyway. So for me, it's a bit of a reckless take, and I don't necessarily buy that it's 100% done.
Do you believe that someone reached out to him, that the communication from an NBA player who's been around a long time and is connected to the league, do you believe that portion is true?
Yes, I believe some NBA player slid into his DMs. If it's 100% done, let's just take it on face value and just say, okay, it's 100% done. Who would know about it being 100% done? KD, his agent Rich Kleiman, you figure James Dolan of the Knicks, and then what other player KD theoretically contacted? Other than that, who's going to know that it's 100% done?
Well, you got to figure the players KD contacts, plus the people in their entourage that they talk to, plus the media members they talk to off the record, plus the word of mouth, which obviously down the line that can all get shuffled. We all know the infamous Purple Monkey dishwasher
yep.
from The Simpsons.
The game telephone, which is awesome.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, the game's telephone, where you go around the circle and you have to say the thing, and by the time it goes all the way around the circle.
Whisper down the alley?
Yeah, different names of the game. We always called it telephone.
I call it telephone, too.
Yeah, when I was...
Really?
Yeah. Whisper down the alley makes perfect sense, though.
It's an East Coast thing. Of course it makes perfect sense. Telephone makes no sense. There's no telephone involved. Do you hold your hand up like you're on a telephone?
Well, there's no alleys here, per se. We don't have our driveways.
People whisper down the alley. You all line up, and you turn around, and down the alley it goes. You whisper to the next person, and it goes down the alley. It's a very literal phrase and a very accurate phrase. Telephone could be just about anything.
A group of people has never been considered an alley. It can be a line. It can be a group. It can be a gathering. It's not an alley. So we can debate this another time.
To your point, I choose not to.
To your point about Purple Monkey Dishwasher, if this was 100% done...
Man, we are really getting off of all of our topics today.
If really? This was 100% done, who would have it first? Would it be Woj and Shams, or would it be Colin Cowherd? So that, to me, is another thing that makes it curious, because if it's 100% done, that means all those people we talked about who would know about it, Shams or Woj would have had it before Colin Cowherd.
Agreed, except for the fact that they are beholden to the league a little bit. If you're Woj, you have a great relationship with just about everyone. If you have this and you go out saying it's 100% done, that is straight tampering. And while the NBA's press and PR with this is all great because people are talking about the product, if Woj, the most bankable guy in the business, comes out, it's 100% done, that right there is straight tampering, and that undermines the entire system. Cowherd talking about it, he's a radio host. He can be very well connected, but he's not necessarily operating as a journalist or reporter. He's hearing it, he's passing it along, he's discussing it. Woj saying 100% would be a bad look for the league, because now immediately it's, all right, let us know your sources. Like with Schefter, when he was doing the Jason Pierre-Paul thing down in Florida, someone got into the medical, the room, and then they were reporting, and then there's a lawsuit because of the, what is it, OSHA regulations. All that stuff's very technical, but I could see why he wouldn't report it even if he had that information, just because it might be a favorite to the league. But all your other points, I do see what you're saying.
I just can't see if Woj had it or Shams had it that they would sit on something of this magnitude. And if Colin is right, if it is 100% done and he does go to New York, then we've got tampering for sure on our hands. And we'll see if the league acts after the fact. If something gets 100% done in early May, 2 months before you're even allowed to do anything like this.
It won't be tampering. It won't be, the league won't do anything. Just as you alluded to yesterday, the league was going to have this game fixed for the draft, and Zion's going to be a good Knickerbocker. You know, you've been preaching that for months, Daniel. And so what the league's going to do, it the frozen envelope again. Come on, Daniel. The league's not going to do anything. They want KD. If he decides to go, he will go. If he decides to be New York, he will. If there's any game, any team in the association right now, if you said that KD could go to and have the marketability and make more money anywhere, anywhere bigger than New York. I'm waiting to hear that, because there's nowhere he can go that he would make more money off the court than New York. This guy, if he decides to go, he's done a great job here. He's won us two titles. He's been MVP twice. He's done it. He's done it well. He was planning a hell of a playoff series. And these are some of the reasons that I'm saying, has KD acquitted himself if he decides to leave, or if he decides not to play anymore, if his calf's hurting, he decides not to? I don't think it's a big deal.
What do you think the likelihood is that? You mentioned that again this morning, and I'd like to follow up. The likelihood that we don't see him at all for the rest of the playoffs.
I think it's I'm more 70-30.
70-30 that we don't see him again for the rest of the playoffs, and this is under the assumption they get past Portland.
Yes. I just
that's troubling.
What he's done everything.
I mean, we could just play the whole thing from yesterday, because that's where "come on, Low" comes from. Was this notion yesterday that you floated and Papa took out his squirt gun, as we keep it nonviolent, and soaked you full of water? That take. So, I mean, really, he riddled it with bullets, and down comes the Hindenburg of humanity. That's where "come on, Low" comes from,
and that's why I enjoy that you laugh. And I enjoy that it's a joke and it's a mockery, and I'm okay with it, because you know what, what doesn't come out in the wash sometimes comes out in the rinse. And for us to just sit here and say, oh, he's just going to definitely get back on the court. The guy hasn't even practiced. The guy hasn't even been out on the court because his calf is hurting. It's between a grade one and a grade two. And here's a situation where he's going to have to elevate for jump shots, and he's going to go out there and it's going to be 10. He's like, man, I'm not willing to go out here. And for what? For who? If he goes out there and he's not able to play and move and stuff, is he helping the team? The team's shown that they can get along without him. Are they better with him? Of course. But look at all the talking heads. Look what everyone's saying. Is the team shown that they can win without him? They're playing better. Steph's got his groove back. All the things surrounding it. Both people win right now. If he doesn't play, wow. If they win a title, and they won without me.
There are so many ridiculous takes waiting in the wings depending on how this plays
Absolutely.
Out. Here's example one. He doesn't play at all the rest of the playoffs. They go on to win. We all know what that take is. Here's example two. They advance to the next round. He hasn't played. They get into some trouble with whoever it is. He doesn't come back. It becomes the Jay Cutler versus the Packers in the NFC Championship game. It becomes LT versus the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. You and I have talked about this.
You're right, Joe.
All the jokes we make,
right.
We talked about that for years, how absurd that was. LT could not get out there, and everyone was badgering. How are you going to be on the sidelines in a helmet and not help your team? Fool. Do you think LaDainian Tomlinson spent his entire career trying to get to the Super Bowl, and now that he's at the penultimate game, he's in the AFC Championship, he's not going to play because he's a little banged up? He can't run. Just use the context clues in front of you.
Newsflash, you play running back, you got to be able to run.
I'm glad there was no Twitter back then, because I was in that camp. And I think back to, I can put myself back in that moment. And I was one of the guys thinking about that. Oh, you can stand over there with your helmet on and your uniform on.
Classic,
loud mouth,
but
you can't get out there and play.
Classic.
I'm being honest with you here. 20 whatever years later.
No one asked for the honesty.
20 years.
20 years later.
How many years ago was that?
I think it was, I want to say 07.
That's a good 12 years anyway. It's a good long time. But, you know, to your point, if KD is able to go out there, he's going to play. And this is where your take becomes so laughable. And this is why Papa hit you with that "come on, Low," because he's a competitor. He doesn't want to sit idly by and watch this team do it without him if he's able to go. And for you to hypothetically say it's between a grade one and a grade two, did somebody slide into your DMs and give you that information? Because I haven't seen that out there anywhere.
Okay, let me go ahead and do this. Let me break away and bring a unifying element back into the show.
Please.
Something that will unify all of us. People think we're joking around when we talk about billions of listeners, that the real power players on Earth, the Illuminati, are not listening to this program. Well, first of all, how do you know we're not Illuminati? Wrap your head around that for a moment. Number one. Number two. I have a report from Tim Bontemps. Tim Bontemps, who's Bontemps working for these days? I think it's ESPN.
Formerly of the Washington Post.
I could just click the link, and yes, he's with the ESPN. Get a load of this from 37 minutes ago. Quote, the NBA is expected to move up the start of its annual moratorium from midnight on July 1st to 6 p.m. on June 30th, sources told ESPN. The move will shift the league away from an antiquated system by allowing teams to start talking to players at a reasonable hour. Second part of that is garbage. This is not meant for teams to be able to start talking to people at a reasonable hour. It's meant to try and capitalize upon all of the hype that is free agency. This was such buffoonery. The new league year opens at 12:01 a.m., July 1st. July 1st is a Monday, right? So June 30th is a Sunday, and at 12:01 Monday morning, you're telling me that's when Kevin Durant is free to make his announcement? You think you're going to be able to capitalize on that from a PR perspective? First of all, July 4th is that week, so you've already got people taking off, not paying attention. You've got to put these events where people can embrace them and talk about them and run wild with it. There's a reason anytime you got to announce an arrest or a suspension, it comes at Friday at 5 p.m. It's the Friday news dump going into the weekend so that it gets lost in the shuffle. Your free agency period is going to get lost in the shuffle. So we have railed on this tirelessly, effortlessly for years. And now finally, Adam Silver and the NBA have had enough of us bringing it up. It's such a good idea. They decided, you know what? Joe Lowe and Dibs are right. We're going to make the change. And you know what I say to Adam Silver? On behalf of this show, you're welcome. Glad we could help.
And congratulations to you, because I know that this is something
you've been... And to you and to everyone in the back.
You've been driving this hard, though, the whole idea, especially this year with 4th of July being on a Thursday. It's kind of an odd spot for the biggest free agency news to be dumped in the middle of a holiday week. So at least this, when it starts, and I think you said 6 o'clock
It moves
Eastern,
up 6 hours. It's Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
No, so but that's a time when you are at least settling into, all right, getting ready for work on Monday if you happen to be working 4th of July week. So... it at least gives the NBA a chance on that Sunday night, which is a pretty slow sports night. Other than Sunday night baseball, there's nothing going on. You kind of have that moment to yourself. It's a good move.
It's a smart move by the NBA. You listen to smart people. You weigh the options. You make good decisions. That's what we're here to do. We're here to throw out ideas that you guys can act upon, make money on. We're here to bring some laughs, some information, bash each other the other 98% of the time.
That's
and,
true.
And then go about our merry ways. So this is nice. This is nice.
I think so. I think it's great for the NBA.
I'd like a gift basket. I'm going to be honest. I'd like some sort of public acknowledgement. Maybe. It doesn't even need to be public. We should be acknowledged in some way.
I think Adam, he'd probably send something over for us. And
get at me, Adam.
Yeah, get at us. I'll hit you boys.
Oh, that was the end. Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought you had more.
That's on me. I should have been ready for that. So what do we have? World Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Great Clips, proud partner of Golden State Warriors. Look like old Rick Barry stood us up today. Egg on our face.
That's a shocker. He never, that I can remember, has ever not showed up for an appointment here on 95.7 The Game. He's been a very good guest.
He's obviously got stuff going on. However, on this day in history, he's got a moment. I got to bring it up here. Mickey Mantle hit his 500th home run, 1967, this day in history. Chris Webber was traded from the Wizards to the Kings, this day in history. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, something. Youngest guy to score 40 in the playoffs, I think it was. So shout out Rick Barry.
Shout him out.
All right, so game one last night. Couldn't have gone better. Warriors 116, Portland 94. Warriors are up 1-0 in the series. No one got hurt during the game. Steph was red hot. Klay looked great. The Blazers looked like they were overmatched. Not sure that's going to maintain the rest of the way out, but today you have to have a certain level of comfort. You've got to be feeling pretty good about this series. We've spent a while on edge a bit with this team. Game one against the Clippers, feeling good. Then after game two, that series got dicey. Then every game in the Houston series, no matter the series score, it's Houston. You can't just overlook them. So now you get to a point where it's 1-0 against Portland, and you're thinking, all right, we can throttle back a little bit. It feels kind of nice to be in this situation again.
Yeah, it's first time that it seemed like they would control the game, first time since the first Clipper game that you say, wow, here's a team. We controlled the narrative, controlled it, even though you're only up by six in the going into the fourth. You felt confident. You saw the way Portland was playing, turnover and letting the ball, turnovers after turnovers. You saw Dame not necessarily go hot. You saw CJ only 17. You had to feel really comfortable. And I think the fans and everyone around feels, God, this is going to be a sweep now. God, the haze in the barn. You look the way you look at all the talking heads. The series is already over. Portland's burnt out. Portland's tired. They're lucky to be here. All the narrative is pointing to a sweep.
I just think that you're going to have a more aggressive Portland team. But this was an awesome win. You got to tip your hat to the Warriors. The way that they went about the business, the way the bench came through, just the way that Steph Curry, you got to tip your hat to the way this guy's played.
And the way they were able to do it as a team, and Joe mentioned it earlier, the minutes counts for the Warriors were down. And so it, not only did you have the additional rest that Portland didn't get because your series with Houston ended faster, you were able to kind of conserve minutes a little bit and also bring some joy into the locker room. Steve Kerr mentioned it post-game that when everybody's getting to play and everybody's involved, it seems like the locker room is a more joyful place. And Steve even said that he didn't really like the way things went in the Houston series for that reason, because he was only playing really eight guys. He wasn't going deep in the bench. So the vibe in the room, much better. The starters, the frontline guys, able to play fewer minutes. Defensively, you did what you needed to do against CJ and Dame, and you feel good heading into game two. And you think if you're on the Warrior team, just avoid the letdown, because you mentioned it against the Clippers. You're up 31 in game two, and you shut it down too soon. Other than that, they've been pretty sturdy at home.
Steph has been on one as of late. Like, the second the opportunity arose where he needed to shoot more, he was sluggish a bit at the beginning of that Houston game, but the last five quarters for Steph Curry, four quarters against Portland and then the fourth quarter against Houston, Steph has 59 points, shooting 58% from the floor, 60% from three. His three-point rate is actually better than his floor rate, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and only 1 turnover. I'm going to read that again. It is this impressive. His last five quarters, Stephen Curry, 59 points on 58% shooting from the floor, 60% from three, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 turnover. You start to, at the very least, get a little glimmer of what life could be like next season should Durant go elsewhere. Steph shifts back into the primary scorer role on a more consistent basis, starts getting up an extra 5 or 10 shots a game. Who's to say there can't be a renaissance move for the MVP? No one gets credited or gets any sort of consideration whatsoever here now for the MVP because there are too many stars. The league doesn't want to necessarily focus on that. The writers would rather give it to old Jimbo, who has a great regular season on a regular basis. I mean, he's in there down 20 to the Spurs,
Jimbo,
gutting out that 30-point effort. You got to love what Jim does during the regular season. He's the king of the regular season. But then the children go to bed because it's 9 o'clock, and the adults, they need to step their games up. It's time to play. And Jimbo's not around. Jimbo goes to bed at 9 o'clock.
Oh, Jimbo.
Because the regular season's over. He and Chrissy and all of them. And by the way, there is a great, great photo that was making its way around the internet yesterday. It's a picture of four guys who were teammates with the Charlotte Hornets back in the day, the like aqua jerseys.
Right.
It's Peja, it's David West,
yep.
It's Chris Paul, and I can't remember the fourth, but it's someone who went on to win a chip. And the top half of the picture is the four of them together with Charlotte.
Right.
And then the bottom is each of them individually with new teams, all holding their championship trophies.
Wow.
Except Chris Paul. Wow. And I can't remember who the third one was. There was another guy with them in Charlotte when they were all together that went on to win a title somewhere. I can't remember who. But regardless, they all went on to win chips and Chris didn't. So, yeah, you got to put the children to bed before 9. That's Jimmy. That's little Chrissy. They go to sleep. Then the adults come out for the big series. And that's where it gets interesting. And that's when you start talking about real-life MVP awards. Steph next year, who's to say he's not going to start putting up 30 again? Open up Chase Center with a bang.
I think what
Tyson Chandler. Thank you, Chilton Autobody text line. Sorry to interrupt. I wanted to get that out there. Tyson Chandler was the fourth.
I think too, what makes this so unique for Steph, no one can say he had necessarily a bona fide superstar when he won his first title with the Dubs. They won without KD. So KD came and everyone said, well, KD has this team and that's why he's winning. So Steph by himself has already had won one without necessarily the best player in the association. When you go through history and you think about different guys at under 6'5", that you talk about, did they win a title being their team? You look at a guy like Iverson. You look at certain guys like Steph. You look at Kyrie, though. Kyrie, did he win it by himself? He had to have LeBron. If you look at what Steph has done far as just the guys who Matt is tall, of course, 6'3", is tall, but you think about what he's been able to do,
That makes it even that's more unique because Iverson was a hell of a player. You look at Kyrie, hell of a player. But certain guys, though, what Steph has done far as that guys that maybe is not as tall as the normal guys like the Michael Jordans, like the LeBron James, like the Kawhis, like the KDs. Those guys, the people get, put more value for some reason because seems like they can play better defense. They do everything, block shots, do all those different things surrounding it. So I think Steph also should get kudos for that, being in that kind of that sphere by himself.
Yeah,
as well,
he gets the kudos, but at the same time, the names you rattle off, they all have the Bill as well as the Larry, the Bill Russell Finals MVP trophy. Michael Jordan has six of them. Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio, he was the most valuable player. So when Steph won his first title, it was Andre Iguodala who was the Finals MVP. So as much as I totally agree with you, 6'3", leading a team, the alpha scorer and all that, you do have to remember that it was Iguodala. And obviously, every team that wins a championship, it's not just about the one player. The one guy I was thinking about was Chauncey Billups when they won in Detroit. And then you remember, well, they had the Wallace brothers, quote-unquote, Ben, and they had Rasheed, and they had all these other pieces. And as you start to go through it, it is hard to find a guy as unique as Steph doing what he does and having that level of success. But we do have to also remember the Iguodala factor in all this and what he did to LeBron in that first title run.
That Detroit team back in the day, I'm trying to bring this up. It's going to take a few minutes, but do you remember the final scores when they were playing in the postseason back then?
78.
That was a completely different style of basketball.
They beat you up.
77-69, right. For example, over Miami or whatever. Right. Just grinder games.
All right, I'm trying to figure out when they won. What were the years they won the title?
It had to be like 05,
I
think.
Lost Eastern Conference Finals. Here is lost Eastern Conference Finals. What about 7-8?
It's 04 is the year.
04, so I'm going the wrong direction.
Yeah, 04 they won it.
Let's get to boom. All right, schedule and results. Listen to these final scores. All right, against the Lakers, game one. I'm just going to go from game one through. It was a five-game series.
Yeah.
87-75, 99-91, 88-68. That must have been a thriller.
68
points.
Detroit scored 15 points in the second quarter of that game and won by 20.
My God.
88-80, and then game five, 100-87.
Someone hit 100?
Yeah, in the entire, they played 1, 2, 3. They played 5 against the Bucks in the opening round. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 against the Nets in the second round. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 against the Pacers in the Eastern Finals, and then 5 against the Lakers. So you add all those games up, multiply it by 2 because 2 teams were playing. You had exactly 5 instances of which someone hit 100 points. 5.
My God.
There was 108
That's
scored in game 1 against
That's
Milwaukee.
Crazy.
What a different era, man.
And that game you mentioned.
That was this millennium, too. It's not like this is the 80s we're talking
only
about.
Only 15 years ago. The 99-91 game you mentioned in the finals, that was overtime as well. And they still couldn't get to 100.
Yeah.
Overtime.
99-91 minutes. Game two. Yeah, they went overtime.
OT, you still can't get to 100.
Wow.
Lawler's Law need not apply.
Let's spend a minute on this before we jump back into the Warriors. What are we thinking about tonight? We got to keep our eye on the Eastern Conference because at some point that might become a very clear and present danger. Toronto at Milwaukee for game one. Tip time. 5:30 p.m. The Bucks are 6.5-point favorites, over under 217.5. Which, what are you thinking for game one here?
The first game, I'm going to go with Toronto. I think that when you look at, I think Toronto, I think a lot of things have to do. Also, last night, those guys watched the game. Both teams watched the game. And you look at Toronto, trying to say, look, you got to be ready. We understand. Look what the Warriors did. They're going to take. So I think mentally they understand what's at stake. They're saying, "Hey, we got to steal one. Let's try to make it this one." You look at what happened the first game in the series against Boston with Giannis. They didn't play well, and Boston was able to get on them. Now you're talking about a team that's had more time to rest. Their shot's going to be a little bit off because they haven't had the game flow. Yeah, you've been practicing. I get that, and you're rested. I'm with that as well. But I think game flow, being in game situation, Toronto's the team that's been in game situation the recent, and they've been more battle-tested. So I think the first game, I'd give the edge to Toronto.
Who do you like for the series?
Whew, I'm going to take Toronto.
In how many?
This guy here. I mean,
we're talking basketball. Why are these always such hard questions?
I mean, it's just how you always like
the. I'll be giving my prediction as well.
And I will as well.
It's
so
six
we're
or
all...
seven. It's six or seven.
No, it's not six or seven. You have to predict. Yeah. You have to give us a result. We've been doing this for 4.5 years.
You go first this time, too. And Anna, you can go next. Sure. That way you won't feel like you got to be wedge-matic in between a couple different predictions.
It's going seven.
You have Toronto in seven.
Yeah.
All right, lock that up.
It's locked.
Toronto comes out and gets boated tonight. Tomorrow, maybe we'll give you an opportunity to bend the knee. You never know.
You never know.
Where are you
otherwise,
at?
You'd have two takes on two different spikes as it pertains to.
Well, your team's done already. You were the Boston. They're done.
Yeah, your team's still alive because you took all four of the final four.
Savvy. It was a savvy play.
It was genius.
It was very savvy. It's the definition of savvy.
Promise a guy, true friend, fire off at the beginning of the year, basketball season, text line, come in. I said, said Toronto was going, you asked who's coming out, and you were hating on Kawhi, and I said, Toronto's the team in the East. That's what I said. Now, I talked about matchups. I said, matchups, I like to see 76ers. They match up great against who? The Dubs. That's what I said.
Embiid doesn't catch the flu nine times between now and the finals.
Man.
He just can't say
DNP
healthy.
Stop
sniffles.
Eating fast food. So how about this? Go hit the weights and start eating healthy.
He could be such a dominant
player.
You're
an athlete, for God's sake.
Someone's got to get him.
All right. So you got Raps. No, that's all right. We appreciate it. Raps in seven.
It's Milwaukee in seven. I don't think that Kawhi and company are going to be able to pull out the same magic that they pulled out with the dagger, the four bouncer on the rim. The dagger shot, which was at home, Game 7 would be in Milwaukee.
First ever Game 7 buzzer beater in NBA history.
It was.
Yeah.
Wow. First one to ever hit the rim four times, too.
Probably. That was remarkable.
Kalena was right when he joined us earlier in the week. It wasn't a lucky shot. It's a shooter's touch. The guy's an unbelievable player, and I'm really happy that Kawhi's been able to work through that nagging quad issue and be able to play a full year. I'm not hating on him.
That look you're giving right now?
I'm not giving any look. What I said, and if you would allow me to continue, unfettered,
I was congratulating
him on being able to survive and overcome what had to be a debilitating thigh injury that cost him 74 games. All that being said, it's the home team. It's Milwaukee in seven, and there you have it. It's locked.
Anna, your prediction?
I'm going to go Milwaukee in six.
Dibs, could you tell me what I just wrote down here and slid your way before Anna gave her prediction?
You wrote Emma, which I think you meant Anna, yeah, but your ends kind of joined together. Colon, Mil,
I knew
six.
No, I really was on. Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen,
easy. Milwaukee, because there's a Greek. And six, because has to be different than the sevens.
Yeah. Honestly, that's why I was going to get seven. I'm like,
I completely understand.
She knew, too. She knew she would be backed off.
I didn't want to do it. I was supposed to go next, by the way.
You should have just said.
I would have absolutely have gone spite pick there. If you knew I was going to call that, I would have gone spite pick and gone Milwaukee in a sweep or five just to avoid it. But then I would have just pretended like I never wrote it down.
I honestly think it's going to be closer, too. That's why I was like, all right. I was thinking five. I'm like, I got to do six because I feel that's right.
Man, that was unbelievable. Like, you know, I didn't have time to write down Joe's going to write down Anna in six. And I would have showed you what Joe is going to show me. And that would have been unbelievable.
I got Bucks in seven. I like it going seven. I think there are going to be some great strategic adjustments that take place throughout the course of this series. For tonight, a very obscure angle, I would look to the Raptors in the first quarter. I think a lot of people are going to operate under the assumption that Milwaukee's fresher, they're playing at home, and that they're going to get on the wraps early. I can understand that. But remember something. In the last series against Boston, A, Milwaukee got beat on their home court in game one, and then they made the adjustments. Toronto's going to come at them with layers, so they might not be able to adjust right away. That's number one. But number two, and more importantly, Milwaukee was minus 24 in the first quarter against the Celtics in the last series. They lost the first quarter in every game but one. They got off to slow starts. So I would look to that tonight.
And I'll tell you this. You can lock this one up, Daniel. Giannis will only have maybe one game 30 or more. He will not have more game than 30.
Interesting. Interesting.
I
like this. Well,
I like the obscure predictions.
You said maybe will not. So I wanted to make sure definitively we were going.
He's only having one game. What? I just said one game. I'm being definitive. Is that definitive enough for you, Daniel?
One game of 30 or more or more than 30?
One game with 30 or more.
Okay, so 30 counts.
Now we can lock it.
Yeah,
now
just wanted to make sure.
Now that we've...
You didn't know what I was... Go ahead. I'm sorry, Daniel.
I want to be able to lock up the right thing so that when we come back and perhaps you have to bend the knee or get funeralized, we want to make sure that everything was buttoned up. And now it is.
Giannis has had three games of 30 or more so far in the postseason. He had 41 in game four against the Pistons, which was the closeout game. And then he had 32 in game one, two, three. 32 in game three against the Celtics. 39 in game four against the Celtics.
I know what I did. I just know what these. I know what Kawhi and those boys are going to do. We'll see. We will see.
We'll see when I bend the knee. I think that in this one you won't have a chance to bend the knee because all you need is two games over 30, and then you get funeralized. Unless he comes out and he goes for 37 in game one, and you decide, geez, I need to see the error of my ways, and then maybe you try to bend the knee. You may end up bending both knees, and then you're just kneeling. Might as well be
Low
in church
Neal.
Then.
We'll put a K in front of the N.
Right.
Low Kneel.
Well,
don't look at me. That's his joke. No,
you want to bend the knee on something? What?
No, I'm right. I'm riding with my takes. My KD is not
what
leaving.
About the knee? You want to bend the knee?
No.
And you could be in church. Just keep your mouth open. Bend both knees.
Okay.
No, because you're praying.
I know. Because you're praying and you're speaking to God. I know. But there are people that would take that as a dirty context, which is why I just wanted to clarify for you.
Shame.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'll pray for you tonight. It's going to be
You
may want to work your way through the rosary this afternoon just to try to get back to level par.
I don't think he's Catholic. You don't do the rosary, do you? I'll say one of the all-time great backup moments on this show was last year, the day of game one of the NBA Finals, when I asked if at any point LeBron was going to go for 50 in the series, and everyone gave me these definitive no's. We were just screwing around with no chance. And then a few hours later, we're all over at Oracle, and LeBron goes nuts for 50.
It was crazy.
You're watching it tick up, and I'm like, I'm not rooting for the Cavs, but I am rooting for James to get to 50 so we can talk about that.
Man, he needed 52 that night. 50 wasn't enough.
You like my take, or you're on the other church?
There's lots of takes out there. Which one are you referring to?
Giannis.
Giannis, yeah. The 30 or more. He will only get 30 or more one time, one or fewer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a landfill take is what it is. It's a landfill take. There's garbage, and then you put all the garbage in there, and then you realize you need to build houses on it, and so you put all the dirt on top of it. But at the end of it, it still is a dump. So it's dirt on top of garbage. It's a landfill take. Asked me my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion. He's much more likely to average 30 a game than he is to have only one 30-point game. And in fact, you know what? Let's go there. I'll put this one out there for possible funeralization, and I'll go ahead and lock this up as a counterpoint. Giannis, maybe, most likely, possibly, Giannis will average 30 points a game in this series.
I love it. I love that.
Lock it
up. Saying no more than one game of 30 or more. You're saying he'll average 30.
Now, two things could
get
be.
Get a foot rub. Let's make it for a foot rub.
Let's do it.
I'm good on that, Coach. Thankfully, we're all out of time.
Thank you, Joe.
Oh, man.
You bring it back.
Oh, man.
Foot rub scares you, boy.
All right. Terry Porter, 17-year NBA veteran, former Portland Trailblazer, set to join us next. It's Jolo and Dibs, whatever this is, here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.